His glorious church. Not the one somebody's made up or thought up or hoped for. His. It's His, you know. And the scripture says that Jesus is returning for a glorious church. Without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. We have read that like Mary had a little lamb. We have not believed it. We have not anticipated it. And now it's right biting at our heels. And saying, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Ephesians 5:25-27. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself. A glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. But that it should be holy and without blemish. And the intellect and the natural man and the religious sophisticate all say together in unison, how's that ever going to happen? Well, don't mock the word of God. It's going to happen because God said it's going to happen. The only question is, how do we situate ourselves to be a part of it? You see, the plan and purpose of God is to establish a glorious church. We have seen the church be glorious at more times, more glorious than at other times. The church in other parts of the world today is more glorious than it is in America or that it is in the Western Hemisphere. Many, many, many glorious situations are going on because God's getting ready. I've often wondered myself how this could happen. It's clear from the scriptures that His church goes from glory to glory. So I guess that means as we get moving into a certain amount of glory and then we get more glory and more glory and more glory, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Right.
Some people haven't really, maybe they haven't bought into it, maybe they haven't understood it, maybe they haven't desired it, maybe they never heard of it. Some people, as far as they ever get is, did I go to church? Does he go to church? Well, you know, going to church is not the same as salvation. What is the purpose of the glorious presence of God in His church? Why do we want the glory? Why not just lay back and have an easy, greasy, pleasy situation? And not be disturbed or have anybody preach something that might adjust us a little bit. The primary purpose is to have continuous experiences with His presence, like we did this morning. Some of you had a different experience from others inside yourself, but we all experienced. We experienced the presence of God today.
Amen.
We experienced the moving of the Holy Spirit. We praised Him. We worshiped Him because we came to connect with God. But it's so that, as the scripture says, we can be transformed into the image of Christ. And secondly, so that we can then manifest His power through that connection. Or as Andre was calling it, the filling that we go into the world to bring the release of. In this way, we can take His glory to people to be saved, healed, and delivered. The spiritual atmosphere of continual worship, prayer, intercession, obedience, and submission maintains a church under the constant cloud of His presence. You can go to churches and say the presence of God is there, and it won't be on one week and off another. That they have moved into the place of His presence. There's more manifestation on one time than there is another, but there are churches of His presence because they have made that determination and that decision to walk into the place where they can walk in His presence. And when they get into the presence of God, then there's healing and deliverance and transformation and visions and dreams and prophecy and revelation and impartation and activation. Everything but dullness. Everything but deadness. Everything but sameness. And through these we will hear His voice. Through these things, like the prophetic and revelation and vision, we'll actually hear the voice of God. The world mocks the thought that we think we can hear from God. We don't think it. It's a fact. We just tell it. And when we hear His voice, then we'll be given zeal to go and give others what we have received. The objective is to take His glory to a lost world, to people without God, without faith, without hope. His glory will give us boldness to preach His word, to speak about Jesus, to heal the sick and deliver and set people free from captivities and do miracles. What is the glorious church like? I mean, we've so, our flesh so accommodates what we can't believe that we make a place to just build our own picture. So the glorious church, as far as some people know, I don't know, has wings flopping around it or has light pulsating out from it. They don't know what in the world it means. We got to know what it means, because it's time. The time is here to walk into this reality. It's without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. It's holy and without blemish. That means faultless. It doesn't mean that every little person in it is just perfect. Otherwise, you couldn't have any new people or any sinners that day. That is, assuming that older people got better. How many of you know that's not always the case? It's glorious because of what God is doing in it. And at the time when Jesus returns for it to present it to Himself, by then there will not be any blemishes, because He's going to do that transformation. He's going to do it through the weeks and days. And then there's going to come a great move of the Spirit of God, where healings and miracles happen every day, every day, every day, every day, until everybody is ready for His return that's a part of the church. And then He's going to come back for that spotless church. How can it even begin to happen? How can it even be possible? Because Jesus gave Himself for it, because He loved it, that He might cleanse it by the washing of the water of the Word, this scripture says in Ephesians 5. It's going to happen because Jesus gave Himself for it, and His love is strong. He gave Himself. That means everything that Jesus provided through His death on Calvary and everything that is in redemption on the cross, Jesus gave Himself for that, and we have all of that. And to cleanse, there's no reason why we can't be cleansed. It's an ongoing work. I believe sanctification is an ongoing work. But I believe that we can be clean and more clean and more clean day after day after day, because the scripture says it is the work of God's word. It's by the washing of the water of the word. It is not at all impossible. It's the work of the Word of God and of His Spirit. Some people have thought His glorious church is the church of the millennium. It's not. It's the church Jesus is returning for. I'm just telling you, I just read that to you. And the millennium is another deal after that for 1,000 years. And He will present it to Himself. It's interesting. The scripture says that Jesus is going to present the kingdom to the Father, but He's going to present the church to Himself. How's this going to happen? How can it happen? I mean, as the naysayers would say, it hasn't happened yet. Don't you just love to be around negative people? Anything you hope for, they shoot it down. Any parade you're getting together, they'll rain on it. Stay as far away from them as you can. I just was around some folks the other night after the prayer meeting. I'll just confess that it's Pat Watts and some of those. And I was leaving the church, and here's an interesting thing. They started telling me, boy, you're really going down those steps good. You're doing a good job on those steps. You know, I'm around other people, not in you. I'm serious when I say this, not in you, but I'm around other people in the world who never mention how much progress, how much God has done in me. They just never mention it. It's almost like, how come you ain't totally well yet, or something. I don't know what their deal is, but I thought, what's it going to take for you to realize? That's right. And all healing, by the way, all healing is not a miracle. It's just something that makes you well.
Amen.
How's this going to happen? How is this glorious church going to happen? Now listen carefully, because you can start tuning in now and be a part of this happening that's getting ready to happen. The church will begin to receive a revelation. I want you to say, receive a revelation. Now I want to tell you, there's a difference between revelation and intellectual knowledge or information. Revelation is by the power of the Holy Ghost. How did you finally catch on and get saved? You got a revelation. For years you heard things about the gospel, but one day you got a revelation. What happened? The Holy Ghost said it to you. And you moved into that supernatural realm that takes all the excuses away, where you can truly believe. The church will begin to receive a revelation of what His glorious church is, and they will agree with and embrace the fact of what is necessary in order to be a part. They won't just keep praying for revival and wishing we had a move of God and living like they always have. They'll get a revelation of how to adjust themselves and put themselves in a place where they can be a part. Everybody get that? You won't just be around hearing it. It will be a revelation so that it begins to work in you, so that you make the changes that are necessary to be a part. I mean, for the church to be glorious next week is a long shot, wouldn't you say? But it can happen very soon. I believe it's the last great global revelation that will break the chains that have bound the church. I believe that it's the last great global revelation. It, unfortunately, has started in other parts of the world. They're already walking in it. But it's coming here in spite of a secular system of government, in spite of secular schools, in spite of secular media. It's coming here anyway because God's love is strong. It's going to make her His great end time army. You know, salvation came by revelation. A man named Martin Luther finally got up his nerve, hung the theses on the door, and it began. The just shall live by his faith and not by his good works. Salvation came by revelation. It turned the whole world upside down. Baptism of the Holy Spirit came by revelation. There was a time when people didn't have it, and then there was a time around 1900 when the revelation broke through, and now there's more people that believe what we do and practice what we do in the world than there are other denominations at all. Isn't that a wonderful reality? It's because the revelation came. And listen, where revelation comes, there will be manifestation. Where revelation comes, there will be manifestation.
Yes.
Now, why can't people do this? And how can people go to church and just do that and do that? Hello. Nothing's going to happen because you go to church. There has to be revelation in that church you go to. But I'm going to tell you that today, this is the good news. There's been a salvation revelation. There's been a baptism of the Holy Spirit revelation. There's been a worship in spirit and truth revelation. And today there's a glory revelation. It will break through by the word being preached and believed. Revelation, that's how it comes, friends. By the word being preached and believed. And it will release the church into being the glorious church. I want to speak to you a few minutes today about the elements involved in the glorious church. And the first one is revelation. You won't even think about coming into it. I don't know how many churches there are today in this area or in this country that have no idea there's a great revelation called glory that is being ministered in churches, and people are coming into something way beyond where they've been before. Church is going to be exciting every time you come to church. Revelation. You know, doctrine is the milk of the word. People would say, we preach the word. We preach the word of God. That is wonderful. You won't get anywhere without it. You've got to have doctrine. You must have sound doctrine. Or whatever it is you preach and do is not going to be valuable. It's not going to be true. And it's not going to be a part of what God's doing. But listen carefully. Doctrine is the milk of the word. It is so easy to be taught, hear, and understand doctrine. Line upon line, precept upon precept. But revelation is the meat. Now, Paul said, I'd like to bring you some strong meat, but you're not yet ready. Are you ready?
Yeah.
You like a big steak instead of a hot dog?
Yeah.
We've got to have doctrine. It's the basis for every purpose of the church. But we're now moving from fundamentals to the move of the Spirit. You've got to build on a good foundation of doctrine. Then you build onto that. That's where the empowerment comes. You know, the breakthrough. You'll know that the breakthrough has actually happened from doctrine to revelation. Listen carefully. When people begin to actually pray for the sick, not just say they believe God heals. You can say you believe God heals from doctrine, from the milk of the word. But when you start praying for the sick with faith and they start getting healed, you've moved into revelation. It's when you actually begin to release prophetic words, not just acknowledging that there is a gift called prophecy. Talking to my doctor the other day, she was looking into a microscope. And so I'm talking to her and I said, and she never looked up. But by the way, you know, she's a believer. She never looked up and I said, you know, I'm hoping you'll discover some good things today. Because I'm praying for you that you'll receive wisdom. Did you know that wisdom is a gift of the Spirit? And I pray for you to receive that. Still looking to her microphone. Thank you. I appreciate it. We got to start letting people know the wonderful things that God's going to do. And she looked up and here's what she said. You know what? Your blood is so clear. She has one microphone that somehow looks on that. Thank you. I'm just a preacher. All I know is microphones. One microscope somehow that shows the outside and one that shows the inside of cells and things. Yeah, that's exactly right, John. And she said, I'm not even going to use the second microscope to look inside today. Your blood is so clear. I know everything's right. Isn't that great? So I just thought that's why I pray for you to have wisdom. So you can help people like me and others get healed. That's a gift of God. The word comes alive when you come into revelation. It has been revealed, and now it will be actualized. Where there's revelation, there'll be manifestation. You'll see things begin to happen. And people are able to do this because we've received revelation that empowers us to act upon the truth. You know, the people most reluctant to receive revelation are those whose heads are full of theory, but who lack experience. people most reluctant to receive revelation. You know, you and I have had a lot of experiences with God. And we've had such wonderful experiences that it's not hard for us to believe anything. Even the things that we haven't even thought of. If somebody tells us it happened, that's not that hard for me to believe. So here's the fact. Many churches will not move into the glory because their leaders are not open to fresh revelation, because that's the only way it's going to come, church. Until you receive that revelation, nothing more can happen. We have to believe what God wants to do before we can have the faith to step out into it. See, maybe you haven't believed as strongly that Jesus is coming for a glorious church as you do now, today, since today. Since these last few minutes, now you are more committed to that. So now won't you be more willing to walk in what's going to cause that to happen? Just, and the other thing I wanted to mention to you, the element absolutely necessary. These are just things I want to open up to us. And then I want to go over just a handful that are absolutely necessary always. But these are two fresh things I'm saying to you this morning about the elements that are necessary for us to move into this. The second one is faith. I'm talking about a new realm of faith. A new realm of faith. My dragon, you know, that takes my dictation, didn't go to Southern school long enough to pick up my dialect sometimes. And she's always making the word realm, room. And I thought one day, it's really the same thing. We move into a whole room of revelation. Just a whole area of fresh revelation of faith. I'm talking of faith. And that's what God is giving us right now. God's giving us a fresh faith. Moving into, and he's doing things that encourage us, and he's giving us testimonies that are building us. Thank God for the faith that revival happened in the 70s with all the wonderful teaching that brought us from mental ascent into the power of real faith. You know, primarily what happened in the 70s was revelation and revolution about faith. And God showed us how to have faith, how to confess the word, how to start talking to your mountain and see it move. I'm so thankful. It was at that time that we began to step into what God had called us to do. Our first understanding was that we began to call things that are not as though they were. And we began to see that we had to take great leaps to say, we believe this is the will of God. Now we're going to start confessing it. We're going to start seeing it. We're going to start having it in our hand. More recently, and we learned the importance of saying that we believed, saying that we believed. We embraced the power of confession to cause faith to work. And we understood that faith came by hearing the word of God, which they never did teach us like that in their denominational churches. I mean, we believed that there was faith, but mostly other people had it in the stories that the pastor would occasionally tell. We weren't told how we could have it. And what we believe now is that we are a people of faith, that we're spiritual people, that we walk the supernatural life. We believe it. We believe that. We're committed. That's because we've learned about faith. And more recently, and I taught you this, I began to see the importance of holding a picture of what I was believing for. For example, if you're having tests, you keep that picture right there in your mind and you thank God for that picture, that the image does not show any disease, that it shows that is clear. And as you keep that picture, it's holding that picture. Holding that picture is an important part of faith. See it. So first of all is see it. Remember when I taught that message? And secondly, say it. So I simply would say then, whose report are you going to believe? I believe the report of the Lord. He says that he wants me well. I see a good report that I get, and I keep confessing that. I keep that report before me. And I keep that picture before me. You know, the way the Lord showed me this was, that I felt like that I had stagnated in my ability to come out and move into another realm. And at the time, I was ill and not getting around very much at all. And the Lord spoke to me through Abraham. And he told me, he said, you know, one day, Abraham came out. And instead of looking at the insides of his tent, he came out and started looking at the spacious sky and started counting all the stars and held them as his picture of what his progeny would be. And even though it took 25 years for the first one, then he had children as the sand of the earth and as the stars of the heaven. But first, he had to come out of his tent and start looking at the stars. And he said, I want you to come out of your tent of asking questions and analysis and wondering, and I want you to start counting what I've promised you and start saying it. See it and say it. It really changed my whole life. See it and save it. Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it's written, the just shall live by faith. Now, I've got two sound bites I'm going to give you, Holy Ghost sound bites today. They're real easy and you'll remember them. The first one is from Montanado. I love this. Faith compresses time. Faith compresses time. What would normally take a year can now be done in a day because you believe it into being. In fact, there is no time in God's realm of the Spirit and faith. He's not troubled with these ordinary things like we are. We go from faith to faith. It can be compared to going from glory to glory. To go from faith to faith is to go from one dimension of faith to another. When we take our measure of faith to the limit, God takes us to a higher level. Have you done all you can do with the realm of faith that you're in now? Have you pushed it to where you're getting ready to kick the walls out of it? Then you're ready to go to the next level. I want to believe you more, God. I want to see more. I want to be a person of greater, more powerful faith. I've been here long enough. Amen. Kick the walls out. Our human nature is not capable of generating faith on its own. You know that. We just strive and strain. We've got to take hold of God's faith. And a wonderful thing is, he wants to give it to us. Mark 11:22, and Jesus answering him said, have faith in God, or have God's faith, the faith of God. If you have it, if you have God's faith, you'll begin to speak to mountains. And you'll begin to see them move, by the way. You'll begin to believe as he believes. And how do we receive God's faith? Listen. We receive it the way he's provided for it, not the way we try to get it. Not by formula, and not at all by natural means. Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we understand. Wow. By faith we understand. We're trying to understand so we can have faith. Don't do it that way. You get faith by doing it God's way. Choose to have faith. Choose to receive it from him. Ask him for it. You can pray, Lord, increase my faith. And then you can start acting like a person who has more faith. That would be walking in the supernatural. The spiritual way is to believe first. We receive understanding by faith. The enemy's goal is to keep us within the limits of reason. Did you know that? Well, that's just not reasonable. Well, nobody said it was reasonable. When we first purchased the property, we sold our house, we did these things to build a work so that we could be free to do everything God asked us to do and to not have any strings attached and not have to bow to anybody who believed something that wasn't real faith, wasn't real love and worship to Jesus. And so when we were making preparations to do this, Mother said, her sister, my aunt, who's no longer living, but she said, but Mother believed from the very first, and she walked with us every step of the way. But she said that her sister said, "Hazel, what do you reckon they think they're doing?" She said, "Poor little Susie." Now, people will think you're just poor, pitiful, little unreasonable creatures. Who cares? We read the book. We know the other end. We know who the real fools are. I'm going to read you something. This will help you. Reasoning is fatal to faith when it causes us to explain why we are sick. Reasoning causes us to explain why we are sick. Hello. I say to people right along, don't give me all the background of where the problem came from. Do you have an answer how to solve this? It may be, sometimes maybe I need to know it, but I don't always want to know the analysis of everything that caused the problem. The fact of the matter is, and Sandra Kennedy said this to me, she gave me the scripture when I was down there, and they ministered to me. I was in my hotel room, and she called. She would call and minister the word to me. She'd send somebody over to read the word to me. They were tremendous, helping me to believe for a breakthrough. She said, "I want you to read Romans 8. I want you to read it over and over again. The Lord gave me this for you. Nothing can separate me from the love of God." And she said, "However and whatever this thing happened, didn't separate you from the love of God. At no time," you know, that really helped. "At no time were you separated from the love of God. Everything that comes to me is Father filtered. And if these things should happen to come, then He has healing to take care of what was not His will, where the enemy made some kind of a breakthrough. And I do not have to figure it out. I just have to know who my healer is." Reasoning is fatal to faith when it causes us to explain why we are sick, impoverished, or depressed. Now listen, the realm of the impossible is founded on human logic. Are you listening? And established in human reason. The realm of the impossible is founded on human logic. And if you want to be, you want to have a lot of unbelief, just reason every single thing out that God has told you to do, asked you to do, prophesied to you that's going to happen. You go ahead and reason about how you can't afford it and you're not strong enough and you're not smart enough. Let's go ahead and reason and stay in your unbelief. Because the impossible is founded on human logic and established in human reason. Do you think this was a reasonable thing, what God called us to do? We never asked and never thought about it. I really didn't think that way. I just thought God can do anything. He wants us to do this. He wants a testimony. He wants a church raised up that'll preach the full gospel without equivocation. And that doesn't have to please somebody that wants it this way and that way. And somebody that will get in the Word and find out how God wants it. The important thing is to surrender to God and His ways if we really want to have faith. Now I want to give you this other sound bite. This is from Bill Johnson, just two of them today. Faith does not come from effort, but through surrender. Faith does not come from effort, but through surrender. Well, God helps others help themselves. That's not in your Bible. Neither is cleanliness is next to godliness, but I'm in favor of cleanliness. There's all kinds of things I've had people quote and say, doesn't it say in the Bible somewhere? I thought, yeah, that one that you have probably never picked up. It says in the Bible somewhere. You see, strife is the opposite of faith. And you can't make yourself believe. You can open yourself to God. You can ask God to give you more faith. I heard somebody during the worship time saying, make me love you, God. Help me love you more. Oh, what a good prayer to pray. Because we can't create love for God, but we can ask God to give us more love. But if we strive and strain to try to believe, we're just going to close ourselves down more and more. And it also shows that we think we can do something supernatural. And we can't. All we can do is provide the vessel. And that way he gets all of the glory. So faith does not come from effort, but through surrender. Now, let's make sure that we have this down, because this is where we're going. I would really have an expectation that this message that I've preached today, you would be able to have these points, elements of what's involved in being the glorious church. You should commit this to memory. There's not many of them. I added today that you must, of course, that you must indeed have get into another realm of faith. You've got to do that. And to know that we're not going to go there without it. But always remember, sometimes people think it's just a kind of church. Now, what do you do at your church? You know, what is your church like? Most often people ask me, they'll ask me, what denomination is your church most like? It's really more like the Bible than any denomination I know. In other words, what I'm saying, it's not like a denomination. Because here's what the Lord said to me about denominations. He said, men have worked through denominations, but I am not obligated to denominations. I am obligated to my word. So he's not mad at denominations, but we don't have to give answers to denominations. Our answers are to God. The Ubangi in Africa that doesn't know what a denomination is can believe God, can he? So now we want to understand, it's not that we have a certain style here. It's not that, you know, this is one of the churches. I've preached in a lot of churches and I've heard a lot of preaching. And very often you can pick up the pastor when you hear other people speaking. But it's not that way here. And anybody that preaches the word here, they do their own thing, because we don't have a preaching style thing here. People can just be who they are. It's hard. You know, you will pick up little things. You know, Bill Johnson says, well, good morning. And all of his guys that preach for him say something likewise. But because they wouldn't think to come out like I do and say, hallelujah, he's great, isn't he? Oh, I thank my God. I'm going to talk to you today about, that's just what I do. Well, Andre doesn't have to do that. Jane doesn't have to do that. They can do whatever they want to do. Because we don't have a style. But we want to do what God has told us to do in order to be a part of the glorious church. To be a part of his glorious church, we've got to establish his clear revelation of the fact that he is enthroned upon the praises of his people. Now that is number one. That is number one. It's got to be established, and I think we pretty much know that here. That if you have the glory, if the glory cloud descends, if the presence of God is here, then we have to set ourselves that God is enthroned upon the praises of his people, Psalm 22:3. So with that in mind, you want to have a praise and a worship every time you come to church that provides a place for God to sit, to be enthroned. Like I think this can maybe help people understand. You know, Tommy Tenney tells a story about a man that was a huge man. I think he weighed 500 pounds or something. I mean, you know, really huge. Maybe 400. I don't know what huge is. But this man would go visiting with him, with Tommy, would go to visit the people in the church. And when they would offer him a seat, he would never take one because he had broken too many chairs, and it was embarrassing. He didn't want to do that anymore. That's one of the best pictures. I wonder how many churches keep offering God a seat that's too small for him. Some seats that are offered to God are minuscule. They're not even bar stools. They're just maybe pinheads. Because if there's no praise, and if there's no worship, and if there's no thanksgiving, and if there's no prayer, how in the world are you going to have a worship service? Why would God enthrone himself where people just come to do their gig, as Eddie said. He said, I just hate it when I hear musicians, Christian musicians say, "I've got a gig over here." We don't want to be gigging around these days. We want to be worshiping Jesus. I mean, if you don't worship Jesus, it's okay if you want Christian music. If it entertains people, that's okay. It's got some good words in it. But why put effort into something that doesn't bring the presence of God? Psalm 100, verse 3 and 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Thanksgiving, praise, and worship, these three things, are approaches that help us relate to God on different levels. Now, I want you to listen very closely to what I'm saying here, because I'm going to give you a little instruction on what to do when we come in to the worship service. You see, you need each level. You need each of these levels because they are all levels that help you approach God. And you don't throw away thanksgiving because you think you come into worship. And you don't kick out praise because you don't need that anymore. But God responds to thanksgiving. It's a door opener. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. So when you first come in, start being thankful to God. Start giving him thanks. And remembering what you have to be thankful for. So start out your worship with, if you're at home or if you're here, either one. Thanksgiving. And then secondly, praise. You know, praise is on a different level from worship. But there's a reason for praise. There's a reason for worship. In thanksgiving, we recognize God's goodness. God, how good you are. Like Tammy's testimony today was full of thanksgiving and also praise. Because how good God was, boy, I just say a hearty amen to that. I just have to say, the darkness needs you, Tammy. The darkness needs the light. God has called me to some very dark situations. To be involved with people where you're sitting in a place and you're thinking, where do you want a door? I mean, you just want out of that place in the worst way. That's what we're called to. That's what we're in the glory for, is to break all that fear off, the reluctance, and to get the zeal of the Lord for any situation. In praise, we recognize his greatness and amazing works. That second song that we sang was, what is that song? Your love is strong. And then the next one after it, both of them telling God who he is and what he's done. This is what praise does. It declares who God is and what he's done. Let me explain something to you. If you say something over several times in a song, like his love is strong, and we do that from time to time. Let me tell you something. That's proclamation. That's powerful. Then you're not just saying it. Don't you sometimes say, let me say, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. It's repetition. But it's proclamation. And it's declaring who God is, and it's powerful. Some of you may not understand why you would worship or praise and do it in that way, but I'm telling you, that it works in the spirit realm. What it's doing is those words are declaring and are moving out the forces of the enemy that try to crowd into the atmosphere. And in worship, we recognize his majesty, his sovereignty, and his glory. We're really not in the place to have our prayers answered unless we understand how to approach him. Through thanksgiving, praise, and worship, then this is the entrance in to his presence. Don't just rush in with your want list. Hold it up to God. Let him read it and then say, thank you, see you later. But the bedrock of all this is prayer. So remember this, thanksgiving, praise, worship, prayer. Always. This is the bottom line for a church that wants his glory. So every time you come to church here, we're going to praise God. We're going to thank Him with all our heart. We're going to praise Him till we come into worship. We're going to worship till we come in the glory. When we come in the glory, we're going to let Him have His way, doing just any glorious thing that He wants to do. Because we don't know what all is going to happen in times of His glory. The bedrock of everything is prayer. Montanato has made the statement that he owes the ongoing atmosphere of the glory in his church, listen carefully, to the private and corporate intercession of his people. To the private and corporate intercession of his people. He said that his wife and an army of intercessory prayers, pray every morning at 3 a.m. for 4 hours. And he said that worship teams gather often just to fill the house with worship and the presence of God. And we've done this from time to time. We come in here and worship just to fill the house with His presence. One time, we just read the Word of God for how long? A weekend? For 24 hours. And different people signed up. And we read God's Word in the house for 24 hours. It was powerful. Just stuff this place full of the powerful Word of God, the presence of God, the Spirit of God. You know, just as you can't make a cake without milk and flour and sugar, you can't prepare the atmosphere for His presence and glory without these four ingredients. My mother made a cake one time, and it's one of the family stories. We all just laughed about it. It was such a wonderful cake, she forgot the sugar. Sometimes, you know, churches would really like to make a worship atmosphere, but they forgot to praise. Or they forgot the prayer. Yeah, they like to come in the place that praise felt good to their bodies, cheered them up and everything. Why wouldn't God come? Because you're the only one cheered up. You didn't cheer up God yet. Just kidding. God's always in a good mood. Prayer, thanksgiving, praise, and worship. And before any of these things can happen, before we can really come into being the glorious church, there has to be a revelation. And a revelation is not worth anything unless you receive it and embrace it. Well, our pastor taught today that there's going to be a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, and she doesn't think it's going to be very long. Where do you want to go to church? I want to make sure I don't go there. That church, those people got to be crazy. Everybody may not agree with you. Well, just don't tell everybody. But when the glory fills the house, you won't have to tell or explain anything. Because you talk about being relevant. The glory of God is the most relevant reality on the face of the earth. He'll minister to everybody. Not where our trained ministers think they need to be ministered to, but where the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Ghost, knows how to minister to them. So when you come recently, yesterday I think it was, I saw an order for 20 of my books, The Praying Church, which I wrote so long ago. I don't even know when it was. Maybe late 70s, something like that. And did you know that they still teach it in the college that I'm an adjunct professor for? They still teach The Praying Church. Now, I had a call one time from a man wanting me to come and teach The Praying Church. And I said, well, that's the foundation of what brought our people into prayer. But if I teach you on prayer, I want to bring you up to date. Prayer in another dimension. It's what the Lord was teaching me at that time, to move on from there. That was the groundwork for it. But in that book, I just taught those simple principles. And pastors loved it because I said the things that pastors are afraid to say about prayer meetings. You know, it was Spinney who said, the devil has no conscience and the flesh has no sense. and together they can run any prayer meeting. But listen to me, it's not about having a perfect looking prayer meeting. What in the world would that be like? You won't do everything right. But here's the point. Know how to work with the Spirit of God in prayer. And that when I have taught this in a classroom, the hardest thing for people to get hold of is the spirit of prayer. And I later found out that it's the same thing as the spirit, a prophetic spirit. Is when you're praying, listen to me, because when you come to our prayer meetings, you want to know this. By the way, when you come to a prayer meeting here at the church, it's great if you have a prayer and you pray it out. If you don't pray a prayer out, then your responsibility is to agree with the prayers that are being prayed. And agree means, I used to play softball, I just thought it was a wonderful game, you know. And one of the things we used to say is batter, 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 right? But when we get in prayer meetings, somehow we get shy about saying, amen, that's right, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's the same thing. I mean, we do all kinds of crazy, zealous things in the world. But the devil, when you come in the kingdom, the devil says, now, by all means, don't have any zeal. And dial that noise down. We don't want to have that noise. Because he's trying to get you to a place of powerlessness. So when you come to a prayer meeting, there'll be someone who'll lead out with a prayer. Maybe pray a scripture or whatever. You ought to be on the sideline, batter, 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 batter. You should be there saying, amen, that's right, hallelujah. And then the Lord may give you a prayer on the same subject. Or as we pray on a certain thing, then the Holy Ghost will sometimes begin to stir in people and they will have a prayer that may be really anointed praying on that particular category. That's when it moves into the prophetic realm. And that's when you really get some work done. There are all kinds of people in a prayer meeting. There's really mature prayers. There's those that just started praying. They're all in between. We used to have children in our prayer meetings pray regularly. And someone just say, I want to make space for Billy to pray. And Billy would pray his prayer. And it didn't really matter what it was, but they'd been sitting, this was during revival, they'd been sitting in the presence of the Holy Ghost so long that they forgot about foolishness is bound up in a child and started thinking and actually hearing the Holy Ghost. You know, children aren't all foolishness. And if you can expose them to the Holy Spirit, they'll begin to get like God is, begin like Jesus is. We shouldn't turn our kids over to the media because they don't have anything for their spiritual good. And so as we pray in that way, we had a wonderful prayer meeting on Friday night, and we always pray for this meeting, for the Sunday morning meeting. I think that's why angels work with us, is that we make the spiritual atmosphere. And let me tell you this, in other countries, they've been praying like this for years and years and years and years. But in America, we've spent more time analyzing and wondering if this and can I be a part and should I and what did this mean? Hey, just come and pray. Follow what you see being done. It'll work out all right, but it's very important. And then I want to just say one thing about when you come to the church service. Listen, it's very important that you be a part of all of the stages. Not just, you know, if I come later, the worship will already be going, I can just enter it in. Wouldn't that be a little selfish? I mean, isn't it everybody's responsibility to praise until there's an opening to enter into worship? So be here right from the beginning. And enter into praise right away. And you don't have to finish the last two or three conversations you started. When Eddie starts to lead the worship, praise, it's praise time. And we're connecting with God. So I'm calling on you to get yourself really in a place where you get serious. I've watched the worship from a couple of these Latino churches that I've mentioned to you, where there are 25,000, 40,000 people. They are intense praisers and worshipers. Now, I think you guys are intense, and I thank God that we have a wonderful praise and worship atmosphere. I'm just trying to give us a little help today to say, let's examine our experience of praise and worship. So start, be thankful to God when you come in. Give Him thanksgiving. That opens the door. Then start praising God. Praise Him for who He is. If you don't think He's done anything for you this week, just praise Him for who He is. Yeah, there's a lot of praise there. Then when we begin to move into worship, just go with us in worship. You know, you say, you know, I don't feel like we're in worship yet. Eddie's leading like he thinks we're in worship. Well, he could always be right, you know. I'm a funny person. This is a fact. People that are real experts are real, let's see, if you take it into even into a worldly way, people that are really trained, or in a spiritual way, like I'm speaking of Eddie, someone that has really given himself to get the anointing to do this, I trust them. I maybe could make a suggestion here or there, but I go with them. I trust what they're doing. I said to John this morning, I said, let's don't ask the man at the dog food store what kind of food Missy needs to eat because she's having a few problems. Let's ask the doctor who knows about senior dogs. I'm going to be politically correct. She wouldn't want to be called an old dog because she's only 22 this October. Can you believe that you'd love a dog that she'd stay around for you that long? So as we are rising up into this next realm, I'm so excited. I'm so excited that God has called us this. And I want you to stand together. And I want us to look to Him today. And I want us to just open our hearts to Him. I want us to open our hearts wide. And I believe the Scripture says that the Lord is seeking for those that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I believe that God is seeking those that will really give themselves to worship Him the way He wants to be worshiped. You know, when Eddie leads us in singing free praise or just a free song, you know, like in between songs, I want to encourage you to be a part of that as well. Just listen, find yourself where your ear tells you that we are. And then just start singing, you know, I love you, or you're wonderful to me, or whatever. Don't be afraid to step out and do some things that you haven't done before. Because there's wonderful power in just expressing your love to Him in these ways. So I want us to give ourselves afresh and anew to saying to the Lord, we want to be a part of your glorious church. Can we say it together? We want to be a part of your glorious church. And I'm believing that. I was just thinking recently, no wonder, Lord, really, why am I on the earth? And I felt the Lord very quickly said to bring people into the things that you're preaching, to bring you in, not just to talk about it. Oh, Pastor, that was a good sermon. Or as one lady said as I was going out the door one day, it was a fine speech. And she went right on her way. I don't want to have fine speeches. Because sometimes they're not. I don't care about that. I want to deliver the Word of God. And so I want us to set ourselves to come into the truth of this revelation. Lord, we just bow our hearts in your presence. We believe you today, Lord, that there's a new place for us. There's a new realm. There are new and fresh experiences. We say to you, Lord, too, that we have needs today that we didn't have yesterday, that you must meet, that no one else can meet. And we know deep in our hearts that it's the ministry of your wonderful Holy Spirit and the presence of your wonderful glory that's going to bring us into these things. We understand we can't get there without being a church of your glory. And Lord, this is our cry today, that you would indeed grant us this revelation. Grant us this revelation, Jesus. Will you ask him? Grant us this revelation. Grant me revelation, Lord. Reveal this to me, Jesus. Reveal it to me, Lord. We just pray that for just a minute. Lord, reveal this to me about the glorious church. Let me see it, Lord. Let me take hold on it. Let my eyes of faith have pictures of it. Let me declare it, Lord, until the very day that I walk into it. And then that will be the testimony of my life, that I believed God and that He brought me into the thing that my heart was so yearning for. Wonderful Jesus, I yearn for this. I thank You and praise You, Lord, that You will now take me into another realm of faith that will bring me into the revelation so that there can be the manifestation that my heart so longs for. I pray, Lord, that You'll take us on, every one of us. You'll take each of us on from this place. We want to go with You as one. And we want to be committed and dedicated. I wonder, while our hearts are still bowed in His presence and our eyes are closed, is there anyone here this morning that you haven't fully surrendered your life to Jesus? You haven't given your heart to Him? Or maybe you did one time and you've been backslidden, you've been away from God, but your heart's stirred today. Maybe it's even on fire. And something inside of you is saying, you need to return, or you need to come to Jesus. You need to surrender. You need to heal. You need to turn over your life. You need to quit holding back. You need to know, acknowledge how much you need God. And if that's your desire today, if you'll lift your hand, I will pray for you that you shall indeed enter into that spiritual reality, to having your eyes open and your heart warmed, where you will be His and you will commit to be His follower, that you will commit yourself to being a person wholly given to Him. Anyone want to raise your hand before we worship Jesus here in a moment? I see your hand, sir. And I wonder if there are any others. While this hand is raised, we're going to pray for those that want to come to Jesus right now. I see your hand too, over right. I thank You, Jesus. I thank You. I thank You for that. I thank You for that. Any others before I pray today? I see your hand in the center section. I thank You. I thank You, Holy Spirit, that You loose people to raise their hands. Thank You for the work of the angels today that sets people free to say yes to God. Anybody else, you can come to Jesus. No devil in hell can keep you from it. It's your decision, and you know it's right, and you know you want it. Any others before I pray today? What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior that saves us, and then the Spirit of truth comes to help us believe it. I pray for these today, Lord. I want you to pray with me, church. I pray for these that have raised their hands today. They have said, I want to yield my life. I want to surrender. I want to be saved. I want to be born again. I pray for them. I pray in Jesus' name. There'll be a breakthrough from heaven into their hearts. Their hearts will be melted and will be open. They'll be changed even from this day. Oh, I thank You and praise You, Lord, that when You do a work by Your Spirit, nothing can compare to it. And no devil can take it away from us. Thank You for Your blood that washes all my sins away. If you just pray this prayer, and congregation, we can all pray it together with them. Lord, forgive my sins and cleanse me completely. I choose the life of God and to serve Him with all my heart. Please forgive me and receive me as Your child. I want to serve You. I want to love You. I want to know You. Lord, I thank You for these that have raised their hands today. I thank You, Lord, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. I pray for the renewing of the Holy Ghost today, with a washing of regeneration. Oh, the Spirit of God that does that work that only the Holy Ghost can do. You save to the uttermost. And I thank You for salvation today. Now, you can join in. Those of you that just gave your heart to God, you can join in with all your heart, because we're going to worship the Lord, because we're answering the call to be among those that are a part of His glorious church. Lead us, Eddie.
Oh, Your love is strong.
Ah.
Oh,
God is
strong.
Is strong. You're so strong, Lord.
Oh, God
is strong.
Oh, God
is
strong.
Oh, God
is
come to the altar and pray, or get someone to pray for you or with you, you just come right onto the altar. Feel free to do that. If you want somebody to pray with you, just lift your hand up while you're at the altar, and someone come and pray for you and minister to you. Don't be afraid, and don't hold back, because we want your needs to be met today.
Lord, let your glory come.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, let your glory come.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, let your glory come. Lord, let your glory come. Let your glory fall.
Let your glory fall.
Let your glory come. Thank you for the glory, Lord. Thank you for the glory, Lord.
Oh, we thank you for the glory, Lord. Sing your own song to God.
Worship you in the glory, Lord.
Oh, your glory.
Sing to you in your love, oh Lord.
Oh, we love you.
Oh, let the glory.
And we worship you.
Stronger than anything.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Stronger than everything.
Yes, Lord.
Strong enough to set me free. Oh, your love is strong. Stronger than anything.
Stronger than anything.
Stronger than everything. Strong enough to break these chains. Oh, your love is strong. Rejoice because you have chosen.